In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth and in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who had pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. There will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, placed in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests." When the angel left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see if this thing has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. He asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. They sent him to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
The way in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Oh, little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Wow. Wonderful job. Okay, let's not hook the baby Jesus. And Helena, you're the best lamb. You're ready to take care of the baby Jesus. We're really proud of you. Good job, everyone. Now, we're going to go into a time of greeting. Parents, if you want to come up and get a picture, we're going to try not to get in your way, but also keep this baby safe. And then, kids, before you go back, I have a sucker for you, but you can't open it until I start my sermon, okay? That's the only rule. All right, with that said, go ahead and greet one another. Tell each other Merry Christmas. Parents, if you want to come up and get a picture, please do. Oh, and by the way, Merry Christmas, and we're so glad you're here with us tonight. I don't know that there's much I can do to expound on the birth of Christ. That was great, the singing and the children. Thank you very much. If you were a child and you didn't get a sucker, feel free to come up and get one. It's totally okay. We've got a whole bowl up here. A couple quick announcements. One is we want to invite you back on Sunday mornings for our worship services at 8:45, 10:30, and then we have the Sunday night service at 5 p.m. Tonight we're taking a special offering, and this offering is dedicated to going to helping people in need. It's for our Deacon Fund this year, and so throughout the year we'll be using the whatever money comes in tonight to help those in need throughout the year. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll ask God's blessing on the offering. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for this night. Lord, we thank you that you had a plan, Lord, that you weren't content with just leaving us as objects of wrath, but Lord God, you saved us and you sent your son to become a man and die for us. And Lord, now we just ask your blessing on this offering that we take. God, may it be used for your glory, may it help those in need, the hurting, the down and out. Lord, we just ask for you to use it to bring glory to yourself. We pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. That nativity, wow, it never gets old. I'll tell you right now, I've seen some amazing things happen in that nativity, but this is by far a first this year with the grandpa wise man. So thank you for making this Christmas special, Gerardo. I met Gerardo Senior, I think it was in 2001 down in Chile, or in Paraguay. We were down there with a youth group building a church. And Gerardo was with his son on a mission trip from Chile, also helping some of the same friends that were Chilean with the church plant. And we got to meet each other. And then his son started hitting on one of my high school girls, Holly, which I was like, this is not okay. And then my wife said, just leave them alone. And I'm like, no, this is a mission trip. Well, now they're married, so we're excited to have them here with us this Christmas. You know, Christmas time, it's so busy. I don't know about you, but it just seems like every year gets busier. And shopping, I mean, wow, just getting time to shop. And you would think with the use of the internet, things would get so much easier, and it has, but I still don't feel like I've got time freed up. In fact, a statistic showed that now 35% of people are doing their shopping on their mobile phones, just trying to get that shopping out of the way. And I, you know, my wife, I can't really complain too much because the little bit of shopping I do, my wife does the most of it. And then finally this year I said, honey, I'm too busy. Listen, I need to outsource some of the shopping to you. Can you get yourself a gift for Christmas and just make it nice and bring it back? That didn't go over too well. So, no. I'm just kidding. I didn't ask her that. But she did actually end up purchasing her own gift because she wanted specifically something. It was like, no, I'll do it. Maybe not quite trusting that I could fulfill the task. I'm not sure. But, you know, every year PNC puts out the financial institution puts out the total cost of Christmas. It's their Christmas price index. And they've been doing this for quite some time, I think since like 1984 or something. But they take the 12 days of Christmas song and they add up every year what the cost would be and how it goes up. In fact, this year, the total cost to purchase everything in the 12 days of Christmas is going to run you just under $40,000 this year. So men, don't complain when your wife asks for a gift, okay? $40,000 for the 12 days of Christmas, and that guy got his true love, all those things, right? Well, a partridge in a pear tree, $210.17, in case you were wondering. That's what they run nowadays. And what I found interesting was that's a bargain compared to what seven swans of swimming cost, $13,125 today for seven swans of swimming. Of course, the eight maids of milking, they're much less expensive. Due to the federal minimum wage, it's about $58 to get your eight maids of milking. But if you were to purchase everything for every repetition of the song, you're right around $170,298.03. That's what it's going to cost you today to celebrate the 12 days of Christmas gift list. Well, you know what? I want to share with you about a priceless gift that God has given to us. In fact, the title of my sermon is All I Want for Christmas. And I think I want to challenge you tonight, believer and unbeliever alike, what do you want for Christmas? You know, a lot of times we can make it about the gift giving, and why not give gifts since God has given us the most precious gift in his son? But I want to look at one verse tonight, and I want to break down this one verse. It's in John chapter 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Did you get that whole verse? "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." This is truly the message of Christmas, that God has a gift for us. Now, my message tonight can be summarized, my 3 points in 3 words, and I'm just going to give them to you right out of the gate so you're ready for them. It's receive, believe, and become. There, that's it. That's the whole message. Receive, believe, and become. I wonder if you can find those words right there in that verse. There they are. We don't have to do much wordsmithing here. The gospel is simple. And that's the first thing. God is a gift for those who receive Jesus Christ. God has this marvelous gift for us that we can become children of God. But we must receive Jesus. Now, what do we mean by receive? Well, to receive a gift is to truly make it part of your own personal possession, to take ownership of something. And God is offering you the most wonderful gift that you can take ownership of, his son, Jesus Christ. The passage here says, "but to all who did receive him." And that conjunction is tying together what happened just previously in verse 11. And that's that he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. So we see that there was a rejection of this gift of God, that many did not receive the Lord God as he came incarnate as a man. Well, you know, when I broke down this passage and I was studying it, I thought, well, is the came to his own speaking about the Jews? Maybe it's more focused on the Jewish people, that many of them did, because certainly they've rejected him. There's no question about that. But the problem is, if you just focus on that, you miss this invitation to everyone else. And this invitation is absolutely to you and I tonight, that we have an invitation for those who received him. Yet some reject him. And I want to go through this a little bit, because to reject this gift does not make sense. Maybe tonight you've come in here and you think you've got it all figured out, but you come in a rebellious spirit, in a sinful place, and separated from God. And I want to give you this promise tonight, that those who receive him become children of God. So the word receive in Greek is actually to accept someone into one's household. And not just to accept them into your household, but to give them authority over your household. That's an interesting idea, is it not? Can you imagine inviting a visitor over to your house and saying, "Okay, you're now in charge of my house"? Well, that's really what this word to receive Jesus means, that when you receive him as your possession, as your gift, that you're going to now give him authority into your household, over you, over every bit of you. That's what it means to receive the Lord Jesus. And it's interesting too, because when we think about giving gifts, there have to be at least two parties in gift giving. I mean, I know we talk about, I got myself a gift, but that's not truly a gift because you went out and just bought yourself something with your funds. To give a gift is to do some act of kindness, show some love without expectation in return. And I know that Christmas sometimes can be stressful because we're like, oh, I got to buy so-and-so a gift. Oh, they're going to get us a gift. Well, are you sure? Are we not doing gifts this year? Because it's okay with me, you know. And we go through this whole thing. But really, truly, gift giving is an act of love on one party's behalf. They just want to love you and they want to bless you. And so we need to have the party who's giving the gift. And we also have to have the party who's receiving the gift. To all who received him, that there has to be a reception of that gift. And that reception means that you also recognize the authority of the gift giver, that they actually have the ability and the authority to give this gift. I mean, think about this for a minute. You guys are all going to holiday parties, going over to family's house. Well, just test this out for a moment. When you're in your family's household, not your own household, just start offering your way to the other guests their possessions. Just try it. Just say, hey, why don't you take this home? Here you go. It's a gift for you. And just see how they react. They're going to say, hey, this isn't yours to give. Because we call that stealing when you give somebody a gift that's not theirs to give. But see, with God, he absolutely had the authority to give this gift of salvation in his son, Jesus Christ. It's his authority as the gift giver on his behalf by his grace that he does so. Well, as we see in this text, it not only says that to those who received him, but it also says that God has a gift for those who believe in Jesus' name. That's what it says. He gave the right, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name. Well, belief, what does that mean? It doesn't just mean to just acknowledge. That's not belief. Belief is to really receive Jesus as this essential gift and put your total trust and commitment into him. That's what the word belief means. It means a total commitment of oneself to the one who you trust. That's belief. And we see examples all throughout the Christmas story of what it actually means to believe. I mean, let's just take Mary for a moment in Luke chapter 1. When when the angel tells her that she'll bear a son, and her response, I mean, obviously there's a lot of questions here. She even asks, how will this be? But at the end of it, her response is, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That was Mary hearing the word of God, believing it to be true, and saying, I am the servant. I'll do it. I'll accept this. That's belief. Joseph, when he was told not to divorce Mary, remember Joseph had this intention of putting Mary away quietly and not bringing shame to her, and he intended to divorce her, but in a dream, an angel appeared to him and told him, do not divorce your wife, Mary, and explained to him what baby she was carrying. His response was this in Matthew chapter 1:24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. That's Joseph. That's hearing God and believing it to be true, so doing it. That's what belief means. The wise men, if you remember, they were warned not to return to Herod and to go back home a different way. Guess what they did? They believed God, and they went a different way. And, of course, Joseph once again warned in a dream in the middle of the night to flee to Egypt. What does he do? He wakes up in the middle of the night. He takes Mary and Jesus, and they flee to Egypt in the middle of the night. That's belief. Belief is hearing God and responding to God, not just acknowledging God. Well, we're supposed to hear God and respond to God. Well, we're supposed to believe in his name. What do we mean by that? Well, names are important. And today, names, you know, we don't quite put as much attributes on names as they did in Jesus' day. But a name carries the character of the person. A name represents the not only the deeds, but also the character of that person. And boy, does Jesus have a lot of names. I mean, just if we take the Christmas story alone about what his names are, it's amazing. I mean, the name Jesus, which he's told, which the angel tells to Mary, his name will be Jesus. The angel also tells Joseph, you shall name him Jesus. This name means Yahweh is salvation. God is salvation. Did you hear that? God is salvation. That's the name of Jesus. That's the name he carries. There's no other option there. God is salvation. And they're told, you shall call his name that. Beyond that, in Matthew, we're also given another name of Jesus. And that name given to Joseph is Emmanuel, quoting from the prophet, which means God with us. What a unique name. God is salvation. God is with us. We're starting to put this together here about who Jesus is. Well, Mary, in her birth announcement, is told, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. That's a heavenly name. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. That's an earthly title. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. That's an everlasting title. And of his kingdom there will be no end. That's an eternal title. Therefore, and then it goes on to say, therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Holy, a wonderful adjective describing who Jesus is, which none of you are. None of you can be except in Jesus Christ. Holy is what Jesus was able to be, totally set apart and without blemish or sin. And of course, Son of God, I don't know anyone that has that title. It's clear that God literally put a Hello, My Name Is sticker badge on Jesus Christ at his birth. What a wonderful plan of salvation just in the names of Jesus before his birth. So believe, that means commit yourself totally in his name. That means to recognize that he alone is the provision for salvation, and you'll be obedient to that provision. Well, it's an amazing gift that God has offered to us, and look at the result of the gift. That when we believe in the name of Jesus and put a total trust in his work, we get to forget our own merit, and isn't that a relief? When you start thinking about your own merit, trying to be good enough, that is so burdensome, and you can't do it. And I don't care who you are. If you're the type of person that tries to say, well, I think basically good people go to heaven, and you start drilling down and asking that person, what does it mean to be basically good? They can't tell you. No one can tell you, because ultimately you can find wickedness in each and every one of us. I travel so much, and being in different countries around the world and seeing religions where they become slaves to their idols. And why are they doing it? Well, they're hoping in some way their merit can win them some sort of eternity, some sort of salvation, moksha, or the like. But here Jesus is saying, believe in my name. Just believe in the name of Jesus and not your own merit. So receive, believe, and become. And that's the wonderful gift of God, that you may become a child of God. That you have he gave the right to become children of God. Gave the right. What an awesome implication of this idea. The fact that God gave the right to become children of God should be so encouraging to you and to me. It means that this story does not have an end in tragedy or disappointment and rejection. Rather, because of God's grace, we can now find acceptance. You know what? All of us want to be accepted. Every one of us has a desire to be accepted. And ultimately, we want to be accepted by our Creator, our God. We have this innate hole inside of us waiting to be filled by God. And we strive to fill it with everything else on this planet. But only God fills that hole in us. And this wonderful idea that he gave. By his grace, you and I can have that relationship with God and find acceptance. And what we don't have waiting for us is rejection and disappointment. Not only did God give, but the scripture says he gave us the right. Look at that. He gave the right to become children of God. And this word carries with it the idea of authority and status. Jesus gave us the right by this wonderful gift of God. It gives us the right of authority and status. Your status in Christ completely transforms. It changes. You're no longer an object of wrath or an enemy, but now your status has changed. You're not an enemy of God. You're a child of God. You're no longer under the wrath of God, but receive the mercy of God. And you no longer are dead in your sins, but are alive in Christ. What a wonderful gift that God gives us by his grace. You know, I'm not sure how you came tonight, but I want to encourage you, don't blow these words off. Don't put these words behind you or try to stuff them. Recognize that you're here by God's grace, and you're hearing this message. And even for those believers in this room tonight, you know that you can be encouraged knowing that you're a child of God. You know, I read an interesting article about a man who was given a pardon. Sorry, I'm pulling up. In 1829, George Wilson and James Porter, they robbed the United States Mail. Both were caught, both were tried, and in May 1830, they were convicted and guilty of the six charges brought against them. The sentence was execution by hanging, and it was to be carried out on July 2nd. Well, Porter, as scheduled, was executed, but Wilson was not. You see, influential people pleaded for mercy to the President of the United States, and finally, Andrew Jackson gave a full pardon to George Wilson. But see, there was a problem. George Wilson refused the pardon. The pardon was done. It was signed. Here you go. You're free of this guilty charge. You no longer have the death penalty. But George Wilson wouldn't receive it. He rejected it. In fact, the matter went all the way to the Supreme Court because nobody was sure what to do with Wilson. Do we force him to accept the pardon? Can we do that? Or do we kill him? We're not sure what to do. So as the Supreme Court dealt with it, they finally ruled this, that a pardon is an act of grace proceeding from the power entrusted with the execution of the laws. But delivery is not completed without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered. And we have no power in the court to force the pardon upon him. Sadly, George Wilson, in his rejection of this pardon, also rejected the life that was given to him by the president. He was put to death. How terrible that is, that the pardon was done. It was given to him. It was provided to them by this wonderful mercy of the president. But yet, he never received it. He rejected that gift. Don't be like George Wilson. God has gone to great lengths, sending his son to be born a man, to die on a cross, so that you could become his child, a spiritual child, and have a reconciled relationship with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your plan of salvation. We thank you, dear Lord, that you had all the merit that we need. You died for us on that cross. You took my sin upon yourself. If you're in this room tonight, I want to encourage you, accept the Lord Jesus. He's not only granting you a pardon, but he's also giving you the gift of becoming a child of God. You pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, save me from my sin. Forgive me for my rebellion. I turn from my sin and I'm ready to receive you, to believe in you, and to become a child of God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful gift of Christmas. Wow, you're an amazing God. We love you, dear Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a tradition. Well, it's not really. It's a little tradition. But we want to end the service in a candle lighting. And this candle lighting is special to me because candle lightings are beautiful and it's a great cell phone selfie moment. But it's more than that. It's really what it represents. As we sing of the wonderful mercy of our God and the beautiful victory of our Savior, it's representing the light going out. Not just staying in one place, but truly the light of life going out. And so we actually receive this light from Bethlehem. It comes from the grotto in Bethlehem where supposedly Jesus was born. And there's lights that have been lit there for over 1,000 years. And every year they bring it from Bethlehem to Austria and then across the United States in an unbroken chain. And so tonight we're going to just take part in that candle lighting representing Jesus' light going out. Let's sing Silent Night together. Well, you've received the light. What will you do with it? Where will you take it? And to who will you give it? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he give you his peace. Merry Christmas. Amen. Amen.